Good morning. Good morning. We're continuing our study through the book of Mark, verse by verse. Last week I was encouraged by Josh when he mentioned the fact that the disciples were just like you and I. When they were called, they were just blue-collar, regular guys, fishermen. And people noticed them. They'd look at them and said, man, they're just unschooled, ordinary men. But they took note that the men had been with Jesus. And they transformed the world. The world is different. The largest religious group of people in the world are those that call themselves Christ followers today. Over 2 billion people. It comes from ordinary men. They're just disciples. And you know, disciples simply means someone who's a learner. You choose to be a learner. You have to listen to learn. And I want to be a better disciple. In fact, this week as I've been studying this topic, it's changed me. It's helped me. It's convicted me. And I trust that'll be true of you today. Even the fact that the song you're singing is so full of truth, it touched my heart this morning. Think of it. Think of some of the phrases that you sang this morning. No guilt in life, no fear in death. Just that, we could leave on that. Just think about that. That's true of us as believers. And the fact that we have nothing left to pay, that should resonate with a lot of you. Because you've been taught that you have to do things to earn God's favor. You know what? That's not true. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing left to pay. Well, I got to do my part. A part of what? It's all paid for. Jesus did it all. Amen. Just that truth from the songs we're singing, we can get that if we're a learner. And oftentimes, I'll confess, I can come. I'm just like you. I can come. If I'm not teaching, I can sing, and it doesn't affect me, and I walk out, and I can't even remember anything. That can happen to me. My heart can get hard like that. And every day, I've got to stir it up. This morning, I was stirring it up. God, change my heart. Help me be a learner today. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're talking about having a good heart. Jesus is going to tell a parable that's going to help us understand where the condition of our heart so that we can bear good fruit. A parable is simply, according to the Greek, to cast alongside of. Or a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, a story with a message. The idea is this, that a parable is a story that you're familiar with on this level. So, for instance, Jesus would often use parables that people that in his audience could relate to, whether it's agriculture, farming, fishing, being a landlord. He would tell a lot of parables like that. But there's a truth above that running parallel that he's hoping and praying that people connect to this parallel truth, right? So it's casting alongside something that you're familiar with, a story you're familiar with a bigger meaning. But not everybody gets it. It depends on the condition of your heart, whether you will get it or not. And that's why I call this message, Good Heart, Great Fruit. If we can go away from today going, I kind of sense where my heart's at, and I need to work on that. I need to work on the condition of my heart so that I can hear from God, so I can be a disciple, so I can bear good fruit. That's what we're going to talk about today. And the parable is the parable of the soils, the four soils, or the parable of the sower, as it's known. We know that there's parallel passages in Matthew. Matthew tells the same parable, and Luke does well. So Matthew 13 and Luke 8, the same parable is told. And it's all about the soils of our heart. Jesus isn't teaching about farming. He's not giving a lesson on farming. He's trying to teach you something about your heart and my heart. And we need to learn that. You know, I grew up in Iowa where the dirt is rich and black and fruitful. Everything grows. This is what I grew up with. Now, I didn't grow up on a farm, but I worked on a lot of farms because even in the big city, in high school, at least when I was in high school, I don't think this is true anymore. I could be wrong. When I was in high school, even in college, as soon as classes were out, man, I had a job the next Monday, and I worked all summer until school started again. I needed to make as much money as possible, and I don't know if kids do that anymore, but man, we did. A lot of times, there's jobs available on farms, detasseling or pulling weeds or walking beans or, you know, baling hay, which was the worst. And Iowa soil is just something I grew up with. This is what I saw. It's black and rich, and everything grows. As long as there's water and sun, it will grow, man. And then I moved to Utah, and the soil's a little different. I mean, I fight with my garden. Some of you are really good, and you've You've added things to your soil and you've enriched it and you've helped your soil with iron and mulch and fertilizer. And, you know, I'm getting to that point after 20 years in my garden. It kind of grows, but it's not, it's just sanding dirt. I planted trees 2 weeks ago and I got about this far into the topsoil. And the rest of it was what? In our neighborhood, Andy, what did I hit? Rocks and sand. It was rocks and sand. There was no topsoil. It was that far in. I'm digging out these rocks, and it's terrible soil to grow things in. You can do it, but you have to work hard at it. You need to change some things. You need to add nutrients and iron and mulch and fertilizer to make it work and to be fruitful. You can do it, but it's going to take work. When you compare the two soils, the Iowa soil and the Utah soil, you understand that there's differences. There's a significant difference in the fruitfulness of these types of soil. You can just see it, can't you? I mean, I know. It's not a competition. I understand that between Iowa and Utah. But if it was, we know who would win. That's all I'm saying. Jesus is going to try to connect that parallel story with the soils of our heart. Have we prepared our hearts to hear from God? Did you come in here today with a prepared heart, a soft heart? Or are you going to walk out of here and not have it? Is it just going to bounce off? Did the songs just bounce off? Did the words that we just sang bounce off? Jesus knows that about us. See, we can test soil. You can go to the USU Extension Center, take a soil sample, and they'll test your soil, your physical soil for you, and help you understand what you need to add. But how do we test a heart? How do we test the soils of our heart so that we can be fruitful? Today, God wants us to be fruitful. Jesus said in John 15, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. You bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." God wants us to bear fruit. So we're going to look at three lessons on how to test the soils of our heart in order to bear great fruit for God. Not grapefruit, great fruit, okay? Great fruit, lots of fruit for God. God wants us to, and it'll bless our lives, and it will bless others if we bear much fruit for God. So I'm going to pray briefly for us. I'm going to ask God to help you. I've already prayed for you. I prayed for you this week. I pray for you today that you have soft hearts, you have tender hearts, and I prayed for myself. Because I learn even when I teach. And God needs to have our hearts be soft. Let's ask him for that. Lord, we want to have good soil in our hearts. Lord, we want to be fruitful in order that you can get a lot of glory from our lives. We want much fruit in our lives to bring you much glory. Lord, but we can come here, and I know I can come here with a hard heart, with a heart that's not prepared, that not even thought about this morning. I just come to church because I come to church. I read my Bible because I'm supposed to read it. But I can get up. I can get up and walk away and forget what I read. I've done that, God, and I acknowledge that. I confess that. You have to tenderize my heart. Come, I need you to help me soften my heart. Help us soften our hearts and learn from you today. First, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so the way we're going to do this is 20 verses. We're going to do just the way Jesus did it. We're going to tell the story, the parable. I'll just read it. And then we're going to talk about the purpose of the parable. And then we're going to talk about the explanation. Again, that's what Jesus did in this passage. He tells the disciples what he meant. And then we have six quick application points. I would encourage you, you'll be glad you did, if you take out the notes, a handout, and follow along and fill in the blanks as you go along. Take some notes. It'll help you. All right. First lesson. Got three lessons we want to look on how to test our heart and bear great fruit for God. The parable itself, found in Mark chapter 4:1-9. Keep in mind the background. Jesus is now teaching on the Sea of Galilee in a small boat. The multitudes, remember, have gathered around him, and he can't, they pressed him into a corner, so to speak, which was the Sea of Galilee, to the point where he had to get in a boat and go out to sea a little bit, and then he could talk and everybody could hear him. If you remember what Josh talked about last week, Jesus had just come off of a very strenuous and emotional day before this point where he's teaching this particular parable. It was emotional because, remember, his family came when Jesus was teaching in a house, and the house was so full of people, Jesus' mom and his brothers and sisters came to collect him. Because they thought he had lost his mind. His family thought he had gone nuts. So they came to get him, but they couldn't even get in the house. So Jesus looked at everyone and said, they told him, your mother and brother are here. I don't know if they said they think you're crazy. I don't know if they told him that, but that's what they were thinking. It tells us in the scripture. That's got to be hard. Have your family think you're nuts. You're crazy. Jesus said, listen, my brothers and my mom and my sister are the ones that do the will of God. And he looked at the crowd and said, you're my brothers and my mother and my sister. And he didn't go with them. That was emotional. And then he had the religious leaders attack him again, and they made some pretty crazy accusations. They said, you're on team Beelzebub. You're on team Satan, Jesus. You're doing these miracles by the power of Satan. Some serious accusations. Jesus had just come off of that. And we know also that Jesus knew something about this crowd that he was talking to. He knew that people do not listen in the same way. Some people are better listeners. Some people are a little hard-hearted. Even in this room today, if we had spiritual eyes, God could look down and separate you and me. So you're in this category. You're in this category as far as your heart condition, your ability and willingness to listen, the soils of your heart. He could do that. And we're going to learn how to do that a little bit today, how to differentiate our heart soil. So here's the story. We're just going to read it. Jesus tells a familiar story about a farmer scattering seed. Pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 4. It says this, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, it grew, and produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Everyone that heard Jesus preach could understand what he was saying. His words were not different to different groups of people. It was the same word. They could understand it if they had a heart that was ready for it, a heart that was ready to hear, a soft, tender, humble heart. The fact of the matter is that some are better listeners than others, right? If you have kids, you know that's true, right? Have you ever told your kids something, said, hey, I want you to go clean your room, and they walk away and you turn to your spouse and go, they didn't listen to me. They didn't listen. They weren't listening. And how do you know that? Because they didn't do what you told them to do, right? And I think I can be that way with God sometimes. My heart can be hard. And it can, if I'm not careful, that's the natural tendency of our hearts, is to be hard-hearted or choked out or distracted. And sometimes I think God wants to do what I used to do with, we did with our kids when they're little and they're distracted because they got, you know, brothers and they got all kinds of things and video games and things they want to do. And it's like, sometimes you have to take their little face in your hands, you know, like, son, listen to me. No, don't look at your brother. No, don't look at the TV. No, listen to me. I need you to go clean your room right now. Did you hear me? Okay. All right, go do it. And sometimes I think God grabs my face like the same thing. Bill, don't look at your phone. No, look at me. Well, don't get distracted by your to-do list. No, look at me. Okay, God, but I've got so much. No, look at me. Listen to me. Quiet your heart. Prepare your heart. I have some things I want to share with you. So we need to prepare our hearts every day. Every day. What is the condition of your heart? Are you a good listener? And that's really our first lesson today. Your fruitfulness, in part, depends on your willingness to listen to God. Are you willing to listen? Do you position yourself to listen to God? And again, how that works, how that looks is, before you come to church, have you asked God to speak to your heart? Are you praying with your spouse on the way over and with your kids on the way over, saying, God, teach us today? When you have your quiet time, are you saying, God, I need your spirit to touch my heart? I'm so distracted right now. I'm sorry about that. Would you help me understand? Would you help me? Would you change my life? Would you soften my heart? Are we positioning ourselves to listen to God? A wise person listens. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Are you a wise person today? Are you a listener? Are you a listener? What's the purpose of the parable? Again, we're just following along with what Jesus said and did. The purpose of the parable in this case is to reveal and conceal truth. That's why Jesus said it's hidden to some, but it's revealed to others. It's concealed to some, but others understand what I'm saying. It depends on your heart condition, and Jesus knew that. He knows that this morning. He knows some of you are going to understand what I'm saying. He knows some of you will not. It'll just bounce off. And for some of you, it's a choice. You're like, I don't care what this guy has to say. And so you're not going to get anything. But if you're thinking, God, speak to me. I'm hungry. I'm desperate. Then you're going to get something. God's going to share with you. He's going to reveal truth. It all depends on your heart. In Mark, we'll pick it up in verse 10 of chapter 4. When Jesus was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that," and then he quotes Isaiah chapter 6, "they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." See, some people are going to hear what Jesus says. Some people are going to hear the word of God, and it's not going to affect them. Otherwise, they would understand that they need to repent and turn to Christ in faith and get saved, have their sins forgiven. And I love the fact that Jesus makes clear what's important. What's the most important thing is not just having a nice Bible lesson on Sunday mornings or reading your Bible or doing good stuff. That's not the most important thing in your life. The most important thing is that you get forgiven. Because you could be the nicest person in the world and give more money and read your Bible, go to church until you're blue in the face, and you can still go to hell forever if your sins aren't forgiven. That's why that's, for me, that is paramount. If somebody comes for marriage counseling or some kind of, I meet somebody and have a conversation and coffee with them, I'm interested in if they're forgiven or not. Yeah, they have marriage problems. I almost say to them, yeah, we'll get to that. But first, do you know Jesus? Have you a relationship with Christ? Are your sins forgiven? I need to know that first because in one sense, I don't care if your marriage has a great marriage and you go to hell. What difference does it make? And Jesus is saying the same thing. People need forgiveness. That is your greatest need. That's the world's greatest need. That's it. To have forgiveness, and you can only get forgiveness from Christ because he's the only Savior that ever died for your sins and actually paid for your sins. And he points it out right here. And it's important then, it's important today. It's important today. So let's talk about this idea of revealed truth versus concealed truth. Because that's what a parable brings. Some people are going to understand it, some people are not, depending on their heart condition. In revealed truth, we understand that this is for people whose hearts are prepared and ready to hear, and you accept it, and you understand what Jesus is saying. You made the jump to the second parallel story. You understand there's a spiritual element, that Jesus wasn't just talking about farming. There's a higher element. There's a greater meaning, and you understand that. And when that's true of you, that truth has been revealed to you, and there's a difference. When you have truth revealed to you, it will always cause a response in your life. If truth has hit your heart, you'll respond to it. So if you walk out of here today and you're like non-pulse and nothing's different, then it hasn't hit your heart. It wasn't revealed to you. But when you're reading your Bible and you can just walk away, which I've done, and it doesn't make a difference, then it hasn't been revealed to me because my heart wasn't prepared for it. Revealed truth always causes a response. It's kind of like, it's like a mirror and it's like a window. It causes a response because revealed truth reveals things about God and about ourselves. It's like a window to heaven that we see God clearer when we're reading and we hear or we sing a song that oh my gosh, you sent your son to die. I can't imagine, my mind can scarcely take it in. That's what we sang this morning. That's because when truth hits you, then that's your response. Like, oh my gosh, I would never sacrifice my child. But you did. Oh, my heart is broken. That's the response. It's like truth hit my heart. It's like, I can't believe you did that, God. I cannot believe you did that. You are worthy of my worship. What an amazing God. So it's like a window. When truth is revealed, we see God clear. We see his love or his compassion, his grace or mercy more clearly. And it causes a response to us. It causes us to worship him more and love him more. But there's also another response. When truth is revealed, it's a change in us. It's like a mirror. When truth is revealed, sometimes it's like looking at the truth and it's reflected back. Our life is reflected back and we see ourselves in light of that truth. And sometimes we don't like what we see. Sometimes it's not pretty to see it, is it? It's like, oh, man, am I a jerk? Man, I've been so harsh with my wife and my kids. I need to repent of that. Oh, my goodness, I'm so lazy. I'm so selfish. I need to be more giving of my time and my resources, God. That's what happens when truth is revealed to our hearts. It's like a mirror, and it bounces back, and we go, oh, my gosh, I've got to change here. I want to line up with this truth. There will always be a response when truth is revealed to your heart. If you walk away from truth, the seeds of the Word of God planted in your heart, and nothing's different, then the truth has been concealed. You have, because of your heart attitude, God's not going to give it to you. It won't be there. It won't be there. In this particular story, a lot of the people Jesus indicates had hard hearts, or choked hearts. It was concealed to them. So the concealed truth, this is what happens, for instance. Let's just play the scenario out. A lot of those people on the shore of the Sea of Galilee heard Jesus' message on farming. You just heard, I just read it to you. So they go home. So a guy goes home and walks in his house. His wife says, hey, dear, how's it going? Well, it's going okay. What'd you do today? Well, I went down, there's a church service down by the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus was preaching today. Oh, really? How was it? What'd you learn? Not much. You know, I mean, it was kind of a milk message. He talked about farming. I mean, can you believe it? He told us, like, don't throw seed on a hard surface. Like I don't know that. I mean, like, really? You know, I think John the Baptist is a better preacher. I like him better. He brought the meat, man. I wish I could go back to him. See, that's what happens when you have a hard heart. You miss the message because you thought it was about farming. I didn't get anything from that message. You ever said that? Check your heart. Check your heart. Because, by the way, I can learn from the youngest Christian. I can learn from the youngest Christian. They're sharing truth. You should be able to learn from anybody. Don't give me this crap about, oh, I need to go somewhere where there's meat. Sorry, I'm a little fired up about that. But I'm tired of hearing it. Because you should be able, if you have a soft heart, you can learn from anybody. Isn't that true? Amen. But if it's concealed to you, then it doesn't enter in. It never stirs you. There's no depth to the truth when it hits your heart. It's like somebody said it this way. Because it's the same truth, there's no difference in the truth. Same truth, different. Whoops, I am way off here. Hold on. I'll get to it. Same truth, different results. It's like the same sun beating down, melts ice, yet it also hardens the clay. Two different responses. The same rain waters the field, yet it floods the rivers. In the same way, the same truth that awakens one blinds another. And Jesus used parables for that very reason. So, men and women, here's lesson number two. Your fruitfulness, in part, depends on your heart attitude toward God. So first, your fruitfulness depends on your willingness to listen. Second, it depends on your heart attitude toward God. What is your heart attitude toward God? Are you humble and willing, desperate to hear from God? Then truth will be revealed to you, and it'll change you. If you can't see change, by the way, these are not salvation. When we get to the different soils, it's not all about salvation here. It's about, these apply to Christians as well. We can have hard hearts. We can have stony hearts. We can have thorny. We can have the word choked as well. But if you look back over your life and there's no fruit, there's no difference, there's no heart attitude different, there's no change in your love or grace or mercy or giving or loving of people, nothing's changed, then, my friend, then you may not be saved. That's how we tell. If there's no fruit, then my goodness, how can the Word of God be in your heart? I don't think it can be. Let's go on to the third point, which is the explanation. I love the fact disciples always felt comfortable just asking Jesus, hey, would you explain that to us? We don't get it. See, they're just like us. And we can do that with God as well. If we hear something or read something, we can say, God, I don't get that. I'm not sure if I understand that. And then we dig in some more. Would you help me understand that? Jesus is perfectly willing to explain the parable. So let's cover this quickly, some of the points Jesus explaining the parable. I think we understand it for the most part, but let's just go through it. The sower, the farmer, is who? Jesus. It can also be, in this context, anyone, in our context, anyone who sows the word of God, sows the gospel, the shares about the kingdom of God with other people. It can be us. I'm sharing the word of God today. I'm sowing the word today, just like Jesus did back then. In verse 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word.'" Jesus is a farmer. What about the seed? What is the seed? In the parallel, what's the real meaning? It's not talking about seed that you plant in the physical ground. He's talking about the word of God planted in people's hearts. That's what he's talking about. In verse 15, he says, "Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown." The seed in the parable is the word of God. It's much clearer in Luke's version of the story where he says, "This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God." There it is. The seed is the word of God as it's preached about the kingdom of heaven. Note, the same seed goes in all the different soils. The seed isn't the problem. The sunshine isn't the problem. The rain isn't the problem. The soil condition is always the problem, and that's something we can do something about. God's word doesn't change. So let's get to the soil. The soil is our heart condition, and there's four types of soil that Jesus told about in the parable. Four types of soil. We'll go over each one briefly. Four types of soil. Here's the first one. I call it sidewalk soil. Jesus called it pathway soil. It's the same idea as that really hardened down dirt that's trampled by feet. There's nothing that can grow there. In our context today, it'd be the sidewalk. When I'm scattering grass seed in my yard, trying to get bare patches, sometimes I'll get it a little bit on the sidewalk. And it's like, I know that ain't going to grow. Ideas that grass seed is going to grow on my sidewalk. I have a hard enough time getting it to grow in my yard, let alone grow on the sidewalk. And that's the first type of soil Jesus mentions here in verse 15. He says that some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Now, there are several places in the Bible where there is symbolism of birds equating to Satan, and Jesus uses one of those right here. It says Satan takes that word away. In other words, it hits a hard heart, bounces off. God's word, like today, if I'm preaching it and it hits your heart and just bounces off, Satan will just wipe that away so you have no chance of ever reclaiming that moment. He takes it away. This is people that hear but don't really listen. You're hearing but you're not listening. It makes no difference in your life, either because you've chosen that or just your state of your heart right now. It's just hardened. And God wants to reveal that to you. I remember preaching a clear gospel message. This was many years ago. And there was a woman that I knew of. She was in the front row, and I knew her. She was of a different faith. She was visiting. And I shared the gospel like I do quite often. And I made a gospel call saying, if you prayed to receive Christ for the first time today, after hearing that message, after hearing the seeds of the gospel, and it's planted in your heart, and you want to respond to that, I say, well, everybody's heads are bowed. I want you to look up at me. Tip your head back. Nobody's looking. Look up at me. And a lady in the front row just looked right up at me and crossed her arms, kind of glared at me. It was like, okay, so I just want everybody to know, only looking at me if you just prayed to receive Christ in your heart. Only look at me if that's you. And she's... I said, so you understand that only people that pray that, and she just staring at me. So I kind of just went on, and it turns out afterwards it's very, very clear that she was just being belligerent and in my face. Like, I don't care about your religion. I don't care what you're saying. I can look at you if I want to. That was her attitude. Clearly a hard heart, and the word did not get in that day. It did not. We can have that attitude when we walk in here. That is the sidewalk soil. And Satan could just steal the word away, bounce off your heart onto the ground, and have no fruit whatsoever. Here's the second type of soil, the rocky soil. It has no root. Verse 16 and 17, Jesus says, others, like seed sown on the rocky places, hear the word at once, receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now, this is the kind of soil, our hearts, where there's just a little bit of knowledge. We're kind of religious, and the word, you know, we kind of understand that. We smile, and the word goes in a little bit, but there's no depth to it. All right, just like the soil, you know, in your at your house, if you've done landscaping, maybe you lay some, you know, weed barrier down, then you put rocks on it, or you put mulch down. You know, sometimes weeds, they seem to find a way, and you'll see little weeds growing out of that. But those weeds, I found, they're kind of fun to pull because you just reach down and you pull it, and the whole root, which is trying to find water somewhere, just kind of pulls out easily. You know what I'm talking about? That's what Jesus is saying here. Our hearts can be that way. We can be cultural Christians, outwardly religious, but not connected. Not connected to Jesus. And we won't bear good fruit. And when things, I'm telling you, when things get hard, when we have a difficulty or tragedy hits our life, those people will blame God. God, why would you let this happen to me? They will leave fellowship. And some will deny Christ. They'll just leave the faith because they had no root. They had no root. That's the rocky soil. Here's the thorny soil. Verse 18 and 19, Jesus explains the thorny soil, talking about worries that choke the word of God out of our life. He says, still others like seeds sown among the thorns hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Note once more, the farmer is not the problem. The seed is not the problem. Our hearts are the problem. Everyone here is hearing the same message, but it's going to affect some of you differently. It's your heart attitude that allows you to have fruitfulness. And in this particular case, he's saying it's like weeds. You know, I try to plant garden every year, and weeds will come up. I was out yesterday weeding my garden because I know those weeds, some of those vines will come up quick and they'll choke my strawberries or choke my tomatoes. They'll rob nutrients that I want to go into my zucchini plants, not into the weeds. But that's what happens. And Jesus said those vines and those weeds that grow up next to you in your heart are the worries of this world, the distractions of this world, the desire for other things. Those are like weeds that come into your heart. And I know this is, honestly, guys, if I'm going to put myself in one of the categories, this is one I need to work on. It is. I can be distracted. I can be worried about, you know, politics or the climate or relationships or popularity or how our church is doing or status. Or I can be worried about money and retirement and all these things or my toys. I can get distracted. I can get distracted by my phone so easily to the point where I have an accountability group with some pastors in the valley here in different churches that I'm good friends with. We've been together for 20 years, meeting and being accountable. One of the things I'm accountable for is to leave my phone on my nightstand while I go to read my Bible in the morning. Because I know that if I take my phone with me, an hour can go by. And I have checked Instagram, and I've checked text messages, I've responded to emails, and I've read all the news feeds, but I haven't touched my Bible. And I go, oh, I better read, and so I read real quick, and then I'm done. I know that happens. I can get distracted so easily. I can get in the weeds, so to speak, to the point where I need help. I need to put barriers around myself so I don't pick up I just leave it there. And it's so hard. Just leave it there and go read my Bible so I'm not distracted. The weeds, that's where I can find myself, and I'm asking God to help me. This week, God, help me. I see it. I can just read your Bible, and I can walk away and really not let it affect me the way it should. That's the weeds. Well, let's go to the good soil. The good soil. This is where we want to be so we can be fruitful. In Mark 4:24, Jesus said, others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Those are pretty good percentages right there. We can have fruitfulness, and there's all kinds of fruitfulness we'll talk about in a second. But right here, Jesus is saying, listen, if you have good soil, that soil of your heart can produce some amazing things. It says it can produce 30 or 60 or 100 times. And you know that percentage-wise, what he's talking about is you can have a 3,000%, a 6,000%, or a 10,000% increase. I don't know how many of you know what the percentage interest is on your savings account these days, but I'll tell you what it's not. It's not anything over 3%. Is it? Your basic savings account is like 1.1%. And there's guys on the radio advertising that like that's a really good thing. Hey, you can get 1.5% on your savings at our checking account. What? Jesus is saying I can get 3,000% or 6,000 or 100% increase if my heart is positioned and cultivated and God's word multiplies. That's what we should expect in our lives. That's a person that hears the word, understands it, receives it, believes it. I believe it, God, and allows it to have its effect. We can have fruitfulness beyond anything you've ever imagined. You know, I didn't have one of these last night. I went to the store after my message and I got an ear of corn because I did a little research on ears of corn and being from Iowa, and I used to work for a corn company, Gar Seed Corn. And you know, on average, the average number of kernels on an ear of corn, anybody want to guess? What's the average number of kernels? 800 kernels on one ear. And most stalks of corn have about, I think I even have a picture here. Yeah, here's a harvest-ready field in Iowa. Most stalks of corn have about three ears. So we're talking about 2,400 kernels coming from one kernel. That is, my friends, a 240,000% increase. You say, well, I don't relate to that. Well, here's, you'll relate to it. If I say, I will give you, in 1 week's time, whatever money you give me, I'll give you a 240,000% increase. That's this. If you give me a dollar, I will give you, what is it? It's $2,400 next week. How's that? Would you like that? You give me a dollar, next week I'll give you $2,400. You give me $100, I give you $250,000. Your $100 will turn into a quarter million. That's the kind of fruitfulness that Jesus is talking about. We should see in our lives, and do we see anything? There should be something when Jesus promises we can see that kind of return on a good heart, on his word that's planted in our hearts can have that kind of return. So, lesson number three, your fruitfulness depends in part on your decision to believe God's word. Position yourself and believe it. I believe it, God. I believe it. Don't we want to give God glory? Amen. He says he gets glory when we bear much fruit. Much fruit. It all depends on your heart condition. It does. Let's go to application as we conclude here. The last point, point number four. I just want to give you some thoughts on fruitfulness. So the application is the blank there. We're going to go right to some thoughts on fruitfulness, because I know you're thinking, what does fruitfulness look like? Well, let me just give you six facts about fruitfulness fairly briefly. Number one, quickly here, your job is to prepare the soil of your heart. That's your job, to prepare the soil. Maybe today is a good time to do a soil test on your own heart. Which category do you fit in? Are you the sidewalk soil? Are you the rocky soil? Are you the thorny soil? Are you the good soil? I guarantee if God was here today with his spiritual eyes, he could separate. He would separate. Say, if you want to know, I'll tell you. You guys over here, you're the hard-hearted ones. You're not getting anything out of this. Then here's the sidewalk. Here's the thorny, the rocky and the thorny. He'll put us all in that. It's good for us to ask ourselves the question, am I distracted? Am I listening? Is it changing me? Your job is to prepare the soil of your heart. God does the rest. That's your job. In fact, God causes the growth. Hosea 14 says, your fruitfulness comes from me. You're fruitful because of me. You don't do it. It's not about you. You prepare the soil, and God's word gets planted, and it bears fruit. You just have to get your heart ready. But that can take time, like any fruit coming from a garden. It could take time. Be patient. Understand, number three, that fruit comes in different forms and shapes, all determined by God. The Bible is very clear that he gives us all different gifting, different abilities, So if you're a gifted evangelist, then your fruit probably will come through you sharing the gospel with people and people coming to know Christ. If you're if you have the gift of compassion, then your fruit is going to come from helping people by being a good listener and empathizing with people. If you have the gift of prayer, you know, we may not see your fruit until we get to heaven. Because you are praying and you are changing the world and you're going to be so rewarded and we're all going to be surprised, like, wow, and they just prayed and they got all that? Yes. So fruit comes in different shapes and forms. Don't sweat it. Oh, look at all their fruit. Look at how they're, well, maybe that's not the way you're wired. Maybe you're not a tomato plant, but you're a zucchini plant. That's okay. I don't see my tomatoes and zucchinis arguing in the garden about who's better. They're just who they are. You're just who you are. Just embrace it and don't sweat it. So what does fruit look like? Number four. Some fruits are more fruitful than others. That's important to see too, because you might look around and get jealous of other people's fruits. But again, I have cherry tomato plants that have a gazillion tomato, little tiny tomatoes, and my tomato plants only get a dozen or 20 off the whole year. Again, there's not fighting. You know, the cherry tomato plant's not going, nah, I'm way better than you. It's like, no, you're just different. People will have different fruit. Some are more fruitful than others. Don't sweat it. What does fruit look like? Number five. Well, we can look to Galatians 5. There's inward fruit and there's outward fruit. You should see both. If your heart is tender, there should be a multiplication of fruit, whether it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Are you more gentle? Are you more peaceful since you become a Christian? I become way less competitive since I became a Christian 38 years ago. I become much more compassionate, much more caring. I wouldn't have been. My marriage is way better than it would have been had I not been a Christian. God has changed me. There's fruit in my life. There's inward fruit. I forgive people. I work through issues with people. I wouldn't have done that before. But I do it because the Spirit of God lives in me, and there's fruit that comes from my heart. There's outward fruit. Do you serve? Do you give? Do you love? Do you help? Do you extend yourself? There's outward fruit. Do you see any of that in your life? Or do you just think, oh, I'll let other people do that? Yeah, there's jail ministry. I'll let other people do that. And I'm not saying everybody has to do that. But some of you, God wants you to do that. That would be your passion. Or serving in the back, watching kids. Oh, I'll let other people do that. Well, no. Is there fruit of service? Do you see the fruit? And some of you are thinking, and you're going, I don't think I do. Well, last point for you. There's hope. If you don't really see much fruit in your life, God can change your heart, because it's about your heart, and it's about my heart. Every day, we need to ask God to give me a soft heart. I want to learn today. I want to learn from you. So if you have financial problems, you need a CPA. If you have spiritual problems, you also need a CPA. All right? You need a CPA. Here's what you do if you say, I don't see much fruit. Well, you need to confess that to the Lord. You need to confess it to him. Tell him, I think my heart is hard. I think it's distracted. I don't think there's much fruit. I need good soil, God. I confess that. That's the first thing you do. And then you pray. God, you pray. You say, God, take away my stony heart. Take away my hard heart and give me a soft, tender heart, God. I need a heart transplant, a spiritual heart transplant. And then finally, you act. You obey what you know, what God shows you. You do. He takes your face in his hands and says, I want you to do this. You say, yes, sir, I'll do it. I'll serve, I'll give, I'll do this. I'll change my attitude, I'll repent, I'll ask for forgiveness. I'll do it. Whatever it is, you need to act on it. You need a CPA, a spiritual CPA. And I'm going to give you a promise that you can take with you. If this is your condition, in Ezekiel 36, it says, I will give you a new heart, God promises you, a new heart. And I'll put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart. And I'll give you a tender, responsive heart. That's what God promises to you and to me. If we ask for it, he'll give it to us. And then we can be fruitful as well. Let me summarize. And then we'll be done. Summary. In order for you and I to bear good fruit and to honor God, you need to test the condition of your heart. Where are you at this morning? Where's your heart soil? Are you positioned before God to hear from him, to listen to him, to act? In John 15, again, Jesus said, this is to my Father's glory that you, what do you do? It's to my Father's glory to do what? To do what? To bear much fruit. It gives God glory when you and I, we bear much fruit, showing ourselves to be his disciples. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time this morning, the reminder that the Word of God is not the problem. You are not the problem. My heart is often the problem. That I can have a hard heart that just the Word of God bounces off, or I can have just very shallow, get excited but not follow through on your Word, or I can be worried and choked by so many things, God. We all want to have good soil. I pray for my brothers and sisters out here today that we would have our hearts have good, rich, black soil that just grows anything, that the Word of God comes in and it bears good fruit. 30, 60, or 100-fold, God, I pray that would happen. And I pray especially for anyone here today that doesn't know you, that if you're here, sitting here this morning, and you don't know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven, and you don't know for sure that your sins are forgiven, you're absolutely convinced of that, and you know why. If that's not true of you, you need to get that straightened out today. You need to get help. You need to ask us questions. That's why we're here. This is the most important thing, that you get forgiven. Are you forgiven? Do you know you're forgiven? You can be. Jesus died for you. He rose from the dead for you. He offers it to you right now, forgiveness. If you'll take it, you come talk to me or one of the leaders, or go to the connections booth and just say, how can I be forgiven? I want to know how to go to heaven. You do that today. You act on that today. Don't have a stony heart that walks out of this place without doing that if you're not sure. Don't do that. Lord, for the rest of us, we again thank you so much for your Word that's powerful. Give us soft hearts as we go this week. Give us soft hearts to hear from you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.